good evening, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm always excited to teach Torah. It's wonderful to teach Torah. I'm always even more excited to learn Torah with everybody in this room who, over the years, we've become like, what you call it, dibuk chaverim, right? We learn together and, you know, we get to know one another. But I'm even more excited this time because this is one of the great stories of the Tanakh, of Bereshit, the story of Yaakov and Esav and the bracha that Yitzchak wanted to give to his sons. And I thought about this story for many years, and I have read many different takes on it, and I've liked lots of them. But this is actually the first time that I'm teaching it formally, and it's a very wonderful thing, teaching, and I highly recommend that those of you who love Torah also think seriously about beginning to teach, because when you teach, your mind has to do something different from when you learn, right? When you learn, you can just like take in all of the different explanations and insights, and you like some more than others, and that's a different one, and that's a different one. But when you teach, you've got to whittle it down. You've got to think, what am I going to present? And I can't just have like three different things to say. I've got to be able to have one cohesive thing. So I've really been forced over the last few days to really ask myself the question of what I think about this parsha, about this story, and which of the many competing explanations I find to be the most compelling. So that's what I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to present an approach which has got a few different components to it, and I'm going to be excluding other things that I've heard over the years that I like, but when push comes to shove, I just don't think are as compelling a reading of this this great story. Why is it such an important story? Not just because of the drama in it of itself and of the pathos and the family, but also of the great what-ifs that are contained, right? We're in Parashat Toldot, we're in chapter 27 of Bereshit. We know that Yitzchak has a bracha to give and he wants to give it to Esav. That Rivka, terrified that this take place and that Esav receives something that she believes must go to Yaakov, her youngest son, performs this famous act in which she disguises Yaakov as Esav, and Yaakov then receives the blessing. And you ask yourself, what would have happened if Rivka hadn't done that? Would our three avot have been Abraham, Yitzchak and Esav? Would Esav and Yaakov never have parted ways, but rather than waiting until we get to the 12 sons of Jacob before we sort of get brothers being able to stay together, perhaps this split which is caused by our chapter of Yaakov having to flee for his life and the choosing of one over the other would never have happened, and we'd have had Abraham, Yitzchak, and then we'd have had Esav and Yaakov. And how would history have looked different? Would we consider ourselves Bnei Esav? And you know, just so many parts of our sort of, you know, mental framework of Jewish history and even till today could in theory look so different. We're going to be really focused on the text today. I haven't even made a source sheet in the simple sense, but what I have done, this is an experiment. You can tell me what you think of it afterwards. Rather than making a source sheet, I've sort of made a version of my notes, which I, you know, we might as well sort of share together, and that way hopefully you'll be able to go back over it afterwards and sort of see how one thing connects to another, but also you'll be able to connect up all the different points as we go along. So, obviously it's one of the most famous questions of Bereshit, how to judge Yaakov for what he does in this story. There is great midrashic diversity, right? One of the wonderful things about midrash is it's sort of like you can take a public opinion poll of Chazal and you can find like almost every opinion there. Now, without a doubt, the mainstream, Derech HaMelech, of the Midrashim, of the way in which Chazal view this story, is that Yaakov was, if maybe saying right to act as he acted might be putting it a bit too strongly, but he gets a seal of approval for what he ends up with. Here are a couple of lovely Midrashim, right? I'm reading to you from my own notes. I'm happy to share them afterwards. This is Bereshit Rabba. Vayavo el aviv vayomer aviv, anochi Esav b'chorecha. Kum na, please get up and let me give you my food. Amar Rabbi Levi, anochi atid lakabel aseret hadibrot Anuchi, when he says, that's me, I am the one who's going to receive the Ten Commandments. Aval esav b'chorecha, kum na shava, please get up. Amala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov, God said to Yaakov, ata amalta kum na shava, you said to your father, please do get up. In the future, I will say, I will stand up and I will scatter your enemies before you. Right? You are telling your father to stand up. I will do your work for your children in future. That's one midrash. Here's another midrash. Kevan she'amar Yitzchak le'Yaakov, gasha na v'amushecha, come close and let me touch your arms, right, to see who you are, because your voice sounds surprisingly different from what I was expecting. Nishpachu mayim al shokav. Suddenly, Yaakov starts sweating. You know, he's terrified, right? V'hayali bo rapa, and kasha'avan, his heart went soft like wax, right? You know, what's he about to do? V'zimen lo hakadosh baruch hu shnei malachim. God appointed two angels there. Echad mimino ve'echad mismolo. One on the left, one on the right. V'hayuach zinoto b'mirpako. Kadei shelo yipol. They held him up so that he wouldn't fall down. Right? God sent angels in order to help him do this. Right? He gets approval. God wants to support him in what he does. One of the opinions that Rashi quotes as to why Yitzchak was blind was in order that Yaakov would be able to get the bracha that otherwise would have gone to Esav. This is very widespread, very mainstream way of looking at it. However, it's not the only approach. There are definitely other approaches in the Midrashim which seem to strike a very different key, seem to raise significant questions, seem to view Esav sometimes in a positive manner. Esav is like the great hero of Kibud Av Ve'em, of how to treat one's parents. There are Midrashim about that. There's a midrash in next week's parasha, Parashat Vayetze, where Yaakov thinks that he's married Rachel. And he spends the first night with the woman who he thinks is Rachel. V'kol hahu laila, says the midrash, all of that night, havitzavach la Rachel, he would call her Rachel in the dark, v'hi anyale, and she would answer him. But Zafra in the morning, v'hinehi leah. Well, it turns out that it's Leah, right? And he actually has a different wife. Amar la, he says to her, Mar Amita, why did you deceive me? Batrama, right? You are the daughter of a deceiver, your father. Balayla havi karina Rachel, v'atanitli, I called you Rachel at night, I thought you were Rachel, and you answered me. Amrale, she says back to me, Eat sefer delet le talmidim, right? You've got it, you know this book very well. Lo kach hayat zavach lecha avucha, Esav, didn't your father call you Esav? Vat anyale, and you answered him and said, yes, I'm Esav, right? So who are you, Yaakov, to accuse me, Leah, of identity deception? You're the master of it, right? I'm your student, right? You can almost see that already in the verses, right? When Yaakov says to Lavan, Lamarimitani, why did you deceive me? And Lavan says, in our place we have the minhag that the younger to go before the older, right? Get it, Yaakov, right? Younger doesn't go before the older. The older one takes precedence, right? You didn't seem to know that. I seem to recall that last year or the year before, Avi gave a wonderful drasha Shabbat morning and pointed out something I'd never thought of, that Yaakov then faces a lifetime of being deceived. And you spoke about Yosef and his brothers, right? That he's deceived by his own sons, who say, Hakel na, recognize this coat, right? Isn't it your son's blood? And he faces a lifetime of deception, of being deceived after his original deception. Midah keneged midah, measure for measure. Here's a fascinating midrash. This is actually an Esther Rabbah, right? This is all the way to do with Purim, right? Mordechai hears about the terrible decree against the Jews. Vayilbash sak, and he puts on sackcloth, ve'efel, ve'izak, za'aka gedola u'mara, and he's cries out a great and a bitter cry. V'heichan nifralo v'shushan. Sorry, I skipped out a line. Pardon me. I skipped out the most important bit of the Midrash, which isn't on it. Anyway, I know the Midrash by heart, right? Says the Midrash, anybody who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatran, anyone who says that God is a compromiser, he lets people off, right? Vatran mime'ech, right? His insides will be compromised, right? Rather, ma'aricha po, God extends his judgment. What do we have? Teda, Shehari Zaka Echat Hizik Yaakov Le'esav. Once did Yaakov make Esav cry out by taking his bracha, and the pasuk says in our chapter 27, V'itzak Tzaka Gdola Umara, Esav cried out bitterly. V'heichan Nifra Lo, and where would he have to pay back? Where does Yaakov have to pay back for making Esav cry out? B'Shushan Habira, many hundreds of years later, in Shushan, the capital where Mordechai, Yaakov's descendant, will cry out on account of what is being done to him. Right? Yaakov has to pay for it. So even though it's not the majority approach in the Midrash, we've got these two very, very different ways of looking at it. This is going to be our approach tonight. Okay, so I'm going to do something surprising. I want to take you 8 chapters forward, 2 parashiyot forward, and 22 years forward from our story of the stealing of the brachot. And ask some questions which aren't going to seem to be immediately relevant now, but they're going to be very significant for us as we go back. We are in Bereshit chapter 35, page 186. Parshat Vayishlach. Can we have a note taker? We're going to be useful for somebody to... Alison, you have a pen in hand. Great. Okay. So, I want to read a chapter, right? It's time for Yaakov to go home. He's been in Padan Aram with his father-in-law Laban and his wives and his children for many, many years, right? It's time to go back to Israel. Top of page 186, chapter 35, verse 1, Lamed Hei Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Elohim El Yaakov. I'm going to read quite quickly, okay, through this chapter, but the question should become clear. Kum ale Bet El. Get up and go back to Bet El. V'shev Sham. Go and dwell there. V'aseh Sham Mizbeach Le'el Hanireh Elecha. Go and make an altar for the God who appeared to you, when you ran away from your brother Esav. Right? Everyone remembers the beginning of next week's parasha. Vayomer Yaakov el Beito, Yaakov says to his household, this very del kol asher imo, everyone who's with him, asiru et Elohei hanichar asher betochachem, remove upon me the foreign gods who are among you. Fascinating, not our topic. Purify yourselves, change your clothes. Nakuma v'na'ale Bet El. Let us get up. We will return to Bet El. V'eseh sham mizbeach. There I will make an altar. Le'el ha'aneh oti b'yom tzarati. To the God who answered me on the day of my pain. V'yihi imadi baderech. And he was with me on the way asher halachti that I went. So they give Yaakov all of their gods. And then they go. Pasukei v'yisa'u. They travel. V'yihi. Chitat Elohim al ha'arim asher sviotechem lo radfu acherei b'nei Yaakov. God gives them safe passage. Vayavo Yaakov Luza. Yaakov comes to Luz. Asher be'eretz Canaan. He's now entered back into the land. Hi Bet El. This is Et El. Hu v'chol ha'am asher imo. He and all the people who are with him. Vayiven sham mizbeach. And he builds an altar there. Vayikra l'makom El Bet El. He calls the place there El Bet El. Kisham niglu elav Elohim, because that's where God revealed himself to him, Bet El, the house of God. V'barcho mipnei achiv, when he ran from his brother. V'atamot Dvora meneket Rivka. And there Dvora, the wet nurse of Rivka, dies. V'tikaver mitachat lebet El, there she's buried in Bet El, tachat ha'alon, under the oak tree, great oak tree. V'ikrashom alon bahut, and they call it the oak tree of Tears. Okay, that's the story of Yaakov returning. What have we got? Hashem says, time to go home, build me a Mizbeach. Yaakov goes, he gets back to Bet El, he builds a Mizbeach, he calls it Bet El, and then a woman dies. Okay? Good. Let's turn, you got those components, Alison?
Yeah.
Great. Let's turn over the page, okay? Chapter 35, verse 9. Vayera Elohim El Yaakov Od. God appeared to Yaakov once again. Bavomo bo mi Padan Aram, when he was coming from Padan Aram. Vayivarechoto, and God blesses him. Vayomer Elohim Shimcha Yaakov lo yikare Shimcha Od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshamecha. No longer is your name going to be Jacob. Rather, your name is going to be Israel. The angel has already said this to him, the man. But now God's saying it. Vikrat Shmo Yisrael. Vayomer Elohim Ani El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. Write down that name, Alison. El Shaddai. It's a good name. Pare Ureve. Be fruitful and multiply. Goy v'kahal goyim yeh mimecha. Many nations will come from you. Malachim mechaletzecha yetzeu. Kings from your descendants. V'et ha'aretz asher natati la'avraham u'yitzchak l'cha etnena. And I'm going to give you this land. that was given to Abraham, Zarecha, Acharecha, Tena, Ta'aretz, to your children, after you, I'll give the land. Ve'ya'al me'alav Elohim v'makom asher diber ito. Ve'yetzev Yaakov matzeva. Yaakov makes a matzeva. Matzeva is a, how do you translate it? Not quite an altar. Monument. Right, but fascinating. Mizbeach, matzeva. Yaakov makes an altar, a monument there. V'makom asher diber ito, where God spoke to him, matzevet even. An altar of stone. Ve'yasech alei nesech, puts oil on it. Ve'yitzok alei shemen. Ve'yikra Yaakov et shem ha'makom asher diber ito. Yaakov calls the place where God spoke to him, Shem Elohim. Bet El. Okay. Yaakov calls this place Bet El. That's funny. Thought, come across that before, not that long ago. And there, they go from there. Ve'yisumi Bet El, ve'yihod kivrat ha'az tavo Efrata. Ve'tered Rachel. Rachel gives birth, but Takash b'lidata, it's a very difficult birth. V'hi b'kashto b'lidata, right, they tell her, the midwife tells her, don't worry, you're going to have another son. V'yihi b'tseit nafsha, and it was as she died, ki meta ki tikashem ben oni, v'aviv karalo ben yamin, she calls him ben oni, son of my affliction, and his father, Yaakov, calls him ben yamin, v'tamot Rachel b'tkabel b'derech efrata, hi bet lechem. And Rachel died on the road and was buried there in Efrat. Chapter 35, verses 1 to 8. We have God appearing to Yaakov, saying, time to go. Go back, leave Padan Aram. Go back to Bet El, build for me a Mizbeach. Yaakov does this, he calls it Bet El, and then a woman dies. Chapter 35, verses 9 to 19. We have seemingly an identical repetition. Hashem appears to Yaakov, says, it's time to go, let's go back, to Beth El. He gives him a nice bracha as well, which wasn't there in the first one. He says, build me a matzeva, not a mizbeach this time. Yaakov builds a matzeva. He calls the place Bet El once again, and once again, a woman significant to Yaakov dies. And the question is, why do we have this doubling up? Why do we have seemingly this very clear repetition, Bet El being called Bet El twice, these two appearances of God, and Devorah dying, and Rachel dying. All these questions on the side for now, okay? If we do this right, we're going to come back to it. Fascinating questions, right? But they're actually going to be critical for understanding what we're going to try and do tonight. So hopefully this is a point where we can see why this sheet is useful, right? We're going to keep the different bits, the moving parts together. So that was part three, right? Jumping a long way forward, okay? Let's now jump a long way back, right? We're going to jump back before our story, chapter 27. And let's think a little bit about Yitzchak and Rivka. Before getting into the details of the story, let's use some, put ourselves into it. How do we imagine the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka? If you were a fly on the wall, what's Yitzchak and Rivka's marriage like? Sorry? Slightly disconnected. So try and explain that without reference to our story. Why'd you say that? Okay, so what can people say about Yitzchak and Rivka before our story? Yeah.
The Torah is very clear about the fact that Yitzchak loves Rivka.
Very good. The Torah is very clear about Yitzchak loving Rivka. That's correct. That's very correct. I believe Yitzchak is the first man in Chumash to love a woman. Right? I think it's the first love between a couple. In other words, the root Aleph Hey Bet appearing. There's another really interesting fact connected to what Pinchas said, which, like, for some reason I never really paid attention to until a couple of years ago. What's unique about Yitzchak and Rivka in a positive sense? In contrast to all of the Avot, or the other two Avot? Yafeh! Right? You know, you don't need to be a genius to learn that from Sefer Bereishit that, you know, having multiple wives is, you know, not necessarily a recipe for success or for happy, balanced families. Yitzchak and Rivka only have each other. Now, you might say, why do they only have each other? Because the only reasons why, you know, Yaakov didn't want to have two wives, but Laban screwed him over. And Abraham didn't want to have two wives, but, wasn't able to have children with the first one. But that's not true, right? Yitzchak and Rivka have real family difficulties. Have real difficulties having children, right? How old is Yitzchak when he marries Rivka?
40.
How old is Yitzchak when Esav and Yaakov are born? 60. 20 years. Okay, let me just show you an amazing Rashi. Beginning of the Parsha. V'ya'ater lo, page 124. Sorry, not the Atel, all the one after that. L'nochach ishto, right? Well, this beautiful verse. Let's look back at the verse, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, the third verse, verse 21. V'ye'atel, very, very, quite a rare word. Yitzchak l'Hashem. Yitzchak, translation is entreated, begged, pleaded with God. L'nochach ishto. L'nochach. Translation?
Opposite
his wife. Right, it's an interesting idea. Well, a bit confusing. Ki akarahi. She was unable to have children. Vayatar lo. And God allows himself to be entreated, etc. Look at Rashi. Vayatar lo. Sorry, lenochach ishto. Ze omed bezavit zu, umitpalel. Vezu omed bezavit zu, umitpalelet. The two stand in opposite corners from one another. And both of them pray.
It's mechita.
Right. No, they're there together, right? The midrash that Rashi's basing off. Sorry, I thought Rashi was more extended, right? But the midrash that it's basing it off has a much more elaborate thing where Yitzchak says, I only want to become pregnant. Sorry, I only want to have children through Rivka. I don't want children through anyone else. And Rivka's saying, I only want children through Yitzchak. And the contrast, the midrash says, is to who? Very good. Abraham and Sarah. I think it's Bereishit chapter 15. Says, we can go back in your own time, Sarah says, Chamati Alecha, my anger is against you, Abraham. Why is my anger against you? Because you only prayed for yourself. Because you said, give me a pasuk. V'ani holech ariri, I am walking by myself without children. All I've got is this Damascus servant. Says Sarah, it's just you. It's not us. We're not both in this together. Right? If you'd have prayed for me as well, says Sarah, we wouldn't have had to resort to Hagar. Very powerful idea, right? Yitzchak and Rivka have got something there, some partnership, which Abraham didn't have. Pinchas is absolutely correct pointing that out. That's a very important introduction. Having said that, you guys right. Right? Not easy, okay? I've made a photocopy of the Netziv here. The Netziv, to pass round. Rabbeinu, Nosson, Natan, Tzvi, Yehuda, Berlin.
Naftali,
pardon me. Naftali, Tzvi, Yehuda, Berlin, son of Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan, founder of Bar Ilan University, wrote this fantastic commentary on Chumash, known as the Emek Davar. Now he situates this beginning of their relationship and their difficulties right at the start. Rivka, you'll recall, is returning with Abraham's servant back from her father's land, presumably a young woman. And Yitzchak comes out, Lasuach basadeh lifnot erev, this is the end of chapter 24, comes out to speak to God in the evening time. And Rivka, top of the page in the text, in the Tanakh, Rivka, Vetisa Rivka Teinah, she raises her eyes, Vatera et Yitzchak, she sees Yitzchak, Vatipol me'al ha'gamal, and she falls off the camel. Vatomer el ha'eved, and she says to the servant, Mi ha'ish ha'lazeh ha'olech besadeh likrateinu. Right, you really get from those words, Yitzchak's not an average guy. Right, he causes her to fall off the camel. My guess is it's not because she's like love struck, right? My guess is there's something about Yitzchak which is scary, right? Yitzchak is, I don't want to dwell too much on the Akedah, but you can't say anything about Yitzchak without thinking of the Akedah, right? Yitzchak is, he's wandering in the field, right? He's coming, Bamibor, he's coming from this well that he's been at. Who is he? Vayomer ha'eved, says the servant, Hu Adoni, he is my master. Vatikach hatzif. She takes the scarf that she's wearing, Vatitkas, and she covers herself with it. Have people seen the Nitziv on this? Good. Okay. Sometimes now, if I love a source so much, I feel that everyone must have seen it. Welcome to this Nitziv. This is a powerful and a painful Nitziv. See the bit that I've marked, right, in the blue? So the second column along. I apologize, there's no translation. You'll follow with me. This is intense, everybody. But she takes the scarf and she covers her face. Mirov pachad, from her fear. Right now, pachad actually means fear, being afraid. It's not like yira, which has also got a sense of reverence. Pachad is afraid. Pachad Yitzchak. Ubusha, and her embarrassment. Kamosha mivina she'ena ruai liyot lo lisha. She doesn't feel that she and he are, you know, that she could be his wife. Umeaz v'hala, and from here onwards, nikba beliba pachad mimenu. She was always afraid of him. What a terrible thing for a spouse to be afraid of their partner. V'lo hayta im Yitzchak kamo Sara im Avraham. And Yitzchak's relationship with Rivka was not like Sarah's relationship with Avraham. Not everything with Sarah and Abraham was perfect and happy, right? But they had a relationship, right? They talked. They could talk as equals. V'Rachel im Yaakov. Similarly, Rachel with Yaakov. Over, this is in the next column now. Asher b'hiyot lahem eza kapeda alehem o shinu idea. If there was some sort of argument, some sort of difference between them, lo busho ledaber ratat lifnehem, they wouldn't be afraid to speak their mind one to another. Masha enken Rivka. Rivka was not comfortable speaking to Yitzchak. Oh, sorry. A bit dramatic. Because they're hakdama. All of this, says the Nitziv, by way of introduction. Lahasipur sheyavo b'parashat Toldot. To our story in Parashat Toldot. Shehayu Yitzchak v'Rivka mechulakim b'deot. Where Yitzchak and Rivka have a significant fundamental difference of opinion as to which son should be blessed. U'mikol makom, and nevertheless lo matza Rivka lev lahamid et Yitzchak. Rivka did not have the heart. She wasn't able to find the courage to stand in front of Yitzchak al datar and say what she thought. But dvarim nechuchim, plain, simple English. That she knew the truth, that Esav was only a hunter, etc., etc. Ve'ilu, I'm skipping a little bit, and if Haita Rivka imisha kamo Sarah v'Rachel iman shehem, if Rivka was able to relate to her husband in the way in which Sarah and Rachel could relate to their husbands, lo haya magia b'zeh ha'ofen. This whole story would never have happened. It's terrifying, that's it. Right? That this whole story, our story, Bereishit chapter 27, of the deceit, the stealing of the brachot, and the eventual breaking up of the family on account of it, never would have happened had Yitzchak and Rivka been able to have better communication with one another. I think both are true, by the way. The point we developed of Pinchas's insight and this, right? That there is this love between them, but they're also not together in this way in which, you know, hopefully a healthy couple would. With this, we can turn to our story. In fact, one more thing before our story. Our parasha. We can at least get to our parasha finally, having been forwards and backwards. Our parasha begins with Rivka having a vision. She feels the children inside of her. She doesn't know what's going on. And she goes to speak to God. Right, we're on page 124. Vayomer Hashem la, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, verse 23. God says to her, Shnei goyim bevitnech. You've got two children, two nations inside of you. Ushnei lu'umim, two peoples, memeyech yifaredu. Velo milo mi'amets v'rav yavod tzair. And the younger one will serve the older one. And here's the question. Did Rivka ever tell Yitzchak about this vision, about this prophecy? The Rav Ya'avod Tzair, the younger shall serve the older. Did Rivka ever tell? Yeah. Sorry, pardon me. The the, doesn't even mean the older, does it? The greater shall serve the younger. Did Rivka ever tell Yitzchak about it? Have Omer, I would think to suggest, based on the Netziv, I don't even really need the Netziv for this. No, Rivka kept it to herself. Her whole life, all of the time that her children were growing up, she had this feeling that Esav must serve Yaakov, but she couldn't tell her husband. Here's a cool way of seeing it, almost seeing it in the Pesukim. The next verse, first one on page 126. Vayimlu yameha laledet, and the end of her pregnancy came. Vihine tomim bevitna. What's vihine?
Surprise.
Surprise. Right? What's the surprise? Rivka was just told, you know, God tells you you're going to have twins, you're going to have twins. That's right. It's even better than having a scan. Right? You know, what's the surprise?
Yitzchak
surprise. Yitzchak didn't know they were going to have twins. Rivka hadn't told him. Vihine, what? Surprise. Twins. The surprise isn't Rivka's, she knows. The surprise is Yitzchak's. Okay. Now finally, with all of these hakdamot, all of these introductions, we can finally now come to our chapter, Bereshit, chapter 27. Here is the critical question, right? If you've got confused between the things that we've said until now, don't worry, you can go back and look at the notes that I've put. But this is the critical question. What bracha did Yitzchak want to give to Esau? Because a bracha is not necessarily one single thing. It could be that it's the bracha of Abraham. Birkat Abraham means you, whoever you are going to be the inheritor of this great legacy of my father that I have continued. You are going to be the next one in line. You are going to be the one who is given the blessings of children and father of nations and of land, zera va'aretz, and that God will shine his countenance on you. Is that the bracha that Yitzchak intends to give? Or is it actually a bracha to, what you call in Hebrew, gashmiut, a material bracha to the person who is in charge of the household, who is the person who's able to defend the household, is the person who's able to bring in parnassah, livelihood, somebody who's good at holding land? Is that the bracha which is intended to be given? In which case, it's got nothing at all to do with choosing one and rejecting the other. Right? It's not about, I've got two children, I've only got, and I need to have one at the end of the day. It's just giving a specific blessing to somebody who deserves it. Can we think of another parallel of this in Bereshit? Yofi, very good, right? Parashat Vayechi, a huge amount of Parashat Vayechi at the end of Bereshit, is taken up with Yaakov giving blessings to his children. And there's nothing in those blessings whatsoever which says, I'm selecting you and I'm getting rid of everybody else. Rather, each one is given something which is matim and fitting for them. Could it be that that's what Yitzchak was trying to do? And here is where the work starts, right? And here's where we need to engage. See, I've put the sources here, right? Let's take 5 minutes maximum. B'chevruta, I want you to compare four different sets of pesukim. You see, I put it here, right? The real work, compare closely. Number one, I need you to look at what Yitzchak says to Esav. Number two, I need you to look at what Rivka tells Yaakov, what Yitzchak said to Esav, right? And we're going to look at what is the difference between the speech and the reported speech. And can you pick out anything significantly different? Number three, we're going to look at the bracha that Yitzchak gives to the person who he thinks is Esav. And number four, we're going to look at the bracha that Yitzchak finally gives to Yaakov, knowing that he is Yaakov. Okay, this might look like a lot of work. If you do this, you'll understand the chapter. Right, this great chapter that everybody argues about, this is the key. Okay, what bracha does Yitzchak want to give? What bracha does Rivka think that Yitzchak wants to give? Are they the same thing? What brachot does then Yitzchak actually give? Let's go. Grab the person next to you. We're going to do it in a few minutes. Okay. Cha-cha-cha. All right. Bonachzor, everybody. Let's come back. So remember, we've got four separate pieces. The first, let's look at it as two and two. What bracha does Yitzchak want to give to Esav? And what is it that Rivka thinks that Yitzchak wants to give to Esav? And are they the same thing? Pasuk bet. We read, Vayomer, Hinein Azakant, he says, Yitzchak, I've become old. Lo yadati yom moti, I don't know when I'm going to die. Now remember, our two options for what the bracha is. Is it this Birkat Avraham, you are going to be the one who carries on the destiny of Avraham? Or is it Grashmiut, that you're going to be the, I want you to help you in your task? Ata, sana keilecha teilecha v'kashtech v'tzei hasadeh v'tzud alitzayid. Go and hunt for me. V'aseli metamim kasher ahavti v'avi ali v'ochela. So that I can bless you before I die. How much is in there? Not much. Just, I want to bless you. Do you get a sense of which one it is? Either you don't at all, or maybe you think there's something about, you know, I'm going to give you a blessing to be the leader and to be the person who provides for the family. Look, what are you going to do before that? You're going to go and provide for me. What does Rivka do? Rivka shomat. And then she speaks to Yaakov. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. V'Rivka amra al Yaakov, bana, she says to her son, Lemo, hine shamati et avicha medaber l'esav achicha lemo. I've heard your father talking to Esav, saying, go hunt for me, etc. Havi elitzai. Now we're halfway through Pasuk Zayin. V'avarchecha, and I will bless you. Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei moti. Boom. Rivka puts a massive interpretation on Yitzchak's words, which were not there in the original. A complete world of difference between I am going to bless you, and I am going to bless you lifnei Hashem before God. Rivka very clearly understands that what is it that Yitzchak wants to give Esav? He wants to give him the Birkat Avraham. This is going to be the religious blessing. You are going to be the next one. That wasn't clear at all. But that's what Yitzchak wanted to do. And on account of that, suddenly she's triggered into action. This is when she has to act to fulfill her whole vision, whole destiny. If she doesn't do it, then the prophecy that she was given won't come to fruition. And so the whole thing is set in motion. Let's move to part three. What is the blessing that Yitzchak gives the person who he thinks is Esav? By the way, interrupt me if you've got any thoughts based on your... Yeah, Liana.
I mean, my thought is that in Pasuk Yud, she tells...
Pasuk Yud?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She tells Yaakov to go, and she doesn't use the words that
interesting, yeah. I'll show you Varchecha Lifnei Moto. Then she drops it, and then she goes back to it. But she said Lifnei Hashem in the original one. Yeah, I also thought of that this morning. Very interesting.
That's because when she hears the word Yivarchecha, she just assumes Lifnei Hashem.
Right, once she said it once, then whenever she hears it, Lifnei Hashem, there would be...
That's all she heard.
That's what I thought.
In the first place.
That's right. Michael? Right. She's already said what it is. Okay. So, part three, Pasuk Kafchet, verse 28, we actually now get to the bracha that Yitzchak gives the person who he thinks is Esav. And now read this and tell us, do you think this is Birkat Avraham or Birkat Gashmiut? Is it the religious blessing or is it the material blessing? Says Yitzchak to who he thinks is Esav, V'yiten lacha ha'elohim mital ha'shamayim. God will give you from the dew of the heavens, u'mishmanei ha'aretz, and from the fat of the land, v'rov dagan v'tirosh, all of the abundance, the produce of the land, ya'avducha amim. Right, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yigal, right? Nations should serve you. V'yishtachavu lecha le'umim, and peoples should bow down to you. Heve gvir la'achecha, you'll be master over your brother. V'yishtachu lecha b'nei imecha, and your mother's children will bow down to you. Orerecha arur, those who curse you will be cursed. U'muvarchecha baruch, and those who bless you will be blessed. What's in that blessing? Is that Gashmiut? Material, abundance, strength, power, preserve the family? Or is it Birkat Avraham?
It's not about Birkat Avraham, but he does invoke an aspect of Hashem.
Yeah, God, right. God should give you this blessing. But blessings come from God. Fat of the lamb. Vishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha. Anybody, does that ring any bells? Very good, very good. Right, everyone flick. Perek Memtet, chapter 49. Right, this was already said by somebody just earlier. That's the parallel on bridge. Chapter 49, Pasuk Chet, verse 8. It is on page 276. Yehuda, says Yaakov at the end of his life. Right, this is a bracha, which everyone remembers. Yehuda, the head of the family. It's not that Yehuda's chosen, other people aren't chosen, everyone else is rejected. Yehuda's just the person who looks out for everyone. He's going to be the melech, etc. Yehuda, ata yoducha achicha. Your brothers shall acknowledge you. Ba'oref oivecha, yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha. Your father's children shall bow down to you. Right?
It doesn't say imecha.
It doesn't say imecha. Very good. Pinchas asked the question that Rashi asks. Look at Rashi.
It's because all of them.
Yeah.
Very good. But look at Rashi. B'nei avicha. This is the last one on Pasuk Chet. Al Shem Shahayu Minashim Halbe, right? All the kids had lots of different mothers. He wasn't saying just your mother's ones, because that's only a few. Therefore, Lo Amal B'nei Imecha, he didn't say your mother's children, rather than your father's children. Kederech Sha'amal Yitzchak. You see that? Kederech Sha'amal Yitzchak, the bracha that Yaakov is giving to Yehuda, is similar to the bracha that Yitzchak gave, who he thought he was giving to Esau. Just as Yaakov blesses Yehuda, you're the head of the family, you're going to look after everybody, everyone else is going to bow down to you. And that bowing down, I think, in the Tanakh, it doesn't mean like subservience or like, you know, sort of slavery in any sense, right? It means thank you for providing for us, right? And that's what is being given to the person who Yitzchak thinks is Esau. And how do we know this? Because we see the contrast so much. Now turn to the end of our story, Perek Kafchet. Chapter 28, page 142. This is the bracha now that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov, knowing he is Yaakov. And what are we reading? It's just so clear. Pasuk Gimel of El Shaddai Yivarechotcha. God, El Shaddai, good name, will bless you. Vayafracha, and will make you fruitful. Vayarbecha, and will make you multiple. Right? This is classic Abraham, children. You'll be master of many nations. And God will give you the blessing of Abraham. For you, your children, you'll get the land, children, Abraham. Asher Natan Elohim LaAbraham, which God gave to Abraham. And these are Yitzchak's final ever words. Yitzchak's first ever word in Tanakh is Yofi, Vayomer Avi, on the way to the Arkada, Vayomer, Hineni, Bani. Yitzchak's last word in his life is Avraham Chazak, right? His first word in his life is Avi, his last word in his life is Avraham. Yitzchak lives with Avraham, under Avraham, right? And he gives the bracha of Avraham to Yaakov. Do people get the tragedy of this? Think about this for a moment. Rivka got it all wrong. This has nothing to do with do the ends justify the means. Rivka and Yitzchak were agreed. Yitzchak wanted to give the bracha lifnei Hashem, the bracha of Abraham, to Yaakov. Rivka also wanted that, but Rivka misunderstood and thought that he, adding in the lifnei Hashem, this problem of the lack of communication, and thought that Yitzchak intended to give it to Esau. And if only they had spoken. And if only Rivka had said, you know what, I actually think that our youngest son is the one who really deserves to be the spiritual inheritor. Yitzchak would have replied, you know what, I love Esau. And it's true, I love Esau more than I love Abraham. More than I love Yaakov. And he's the one that I'm always calling Bani. But you know what, you're right. And I recognize you're right. And that's what I'm planning on doing. And this whole story could have been prevented. This terrible rupture in the family. Yaakov versus Esau fleeing for his life could have been prevented if only they had spoken. The bracha that Yitzchak wants to give to Esav is the bracha of Gashmiut, that he will look after the family. The bracha that Yitzchak wants to give to Yaakov is the bracha of Abraham.
Well, it's not necessarily what you can understand from the fact that he doesn't give Esav the bracha initially, the bracha of Abraham, that one that Yaakov stole. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he was 100% sure as to which child was going to get it. Rather, through the conversation he had with Esav, realizing that he had lost the Torah in the first place, that he realized, okay, yeah, Yaakov's the one he's supposed to get.
Why? I don't think so. I mean, he says to Esav right at the start, I want to give you a blessing. What is that blessing? We don't know. Then he has Esav in front of him, and he thinks that
things are up. It goes on
Kobe, yeah, but he's not sure Esav is in front of him. So it could be that he gave that, light sort of bracha.
I think he does.
You have some student masters when Esav comes,
right.
It's like, what do you mean? Esav
was
already
there. And Yitzchak's like, whoa, well, who was Mike? And Yitzchak's shocked.
Then why did he give him a negative bracha?
Why does he give
Esav a negative bracha?
Why? That's good, because this other bracha that we missed out, where Esav says, please, you must have one little bracha for me. Firstly, that's again a very physical bracha. It seems to be that I can't help it now. I gave your brother the physical one. Right? The bracha I gave to Yaakov, I thought it was you, but actually it wasn't, and I can't help that. But we'll come back to that.
Yaakov already said that he gave over the bracha to Yaakov.
He gave the bracha that he wanted to give to Esav.
Esav says that Yaakov tricked him twice, not because of my mind, that he had given him over the Bechorah in the first place. Maybe he was thinking, okay, Bechorah should get it.
Here's something I've really been thinking on. I don't want to too much disrupt from this Mahalach, which is it's working on, but something I've been even thinking on. Yitzchak says, I'm sorry, I wanted to give it to you, but what can I do? Your ba achicha b'milma, your brother came and he took it, and now I can't help it. But here's the question. Does Yaakov actually get the bracha? Do we ever hear, ever, in biblical history or in Jewish history, ever afterwards, that actually Rav Ya'avod Tzair, that Esav and his descendants bow down to Yaakov and his descendants? Does that actually happen? It definitely doesn't happen in Yaakov's lifetime. Has that happened yet?
Well, he puts it down to Yehudah. That's a similar word. He used that bracha that
But in terms of the relationship between Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov's life doesn't seem to really symbolize that. I don't want to get too distracted, but that's just a thought I've been having. Anyway, Ari.
And so it seems like both brachas, even though this one at first sounds like it should be so much better than the first one, when you look at it, it seems like they're both sort of out. It seems like he leaves it out in both brachas. Whoever deserves it is going to get the bracha. If you don't deserve it, you won't get it.
2 weeks from now. We're going to have to follow up on this, because this is a story of a lifetime, right? What that element. But agreed. I want to move us forward. It's a very big mistake when approaching this parasha, which often happens. People say, was Yaakov justified in what he did? What do we think of Yaakov? Right? But the truth is, Yaakov's barely a player here. Who's the player? Rivka, right? I mean, let's just look at a few very clear ones. Pasuk Yud Bet, the first one on page 136, right? Yaakov says, I can't do this, right? My brother's hairy, I'm smooth. Ulayu Musheni, perhaps my father will touch me. Vaitim Bedev, because I'll be as if I'll be, he'll see what I'm doing. And what does Yaakov say? He's terrified. Beheveti alai klala v'lo bracha. It will be a curse on me and not a blessing. Vatomer lo imo, and his mother says to him, these are the worst words. These are terrible words. Alai klilatecha, b'ni. On me, I'll take it. You can't say that. Well, that is a dangerous thing to say. Oh, you do this. Right? If you're thinking of a halachic parallel, this is Shliach L'Davar Aveira. Right? We don't hold a Shliach L'Davar Aveira. Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid Mishomin. Right? If somebody sends a person to do something incorrect, the person who is being sent is held responsible. Right? They can't then put it on the person who sends them. But she says, no, it's on me. So So, pardon me. Go and do it, right? And then here's where it's just so strong, right? I'll make the food because you don't know how to cook. You don't know how to cook vegetarian, right? We've already learned that. And then what happens? Pasuk Tet Vav. Vatikach Rivka et Bigdei Esav Bana Hagadol. She takes the clothes of Esav, her older son, Achamudot, Asher Ita Babai, which they had at home. Vatalbesh et Yaakov Bana Hakatan. And she dresses her little son, Yaakov. Yaakov's over 40 at this stage. And she, I get Tal and Mika dressed every morning, right? That's me dressing my little children, right? But Tilbash et Bana, he can't even put the clothes on himself, right? And she's pushing him and she's saying, go, you do it. And now, watch this. And this I'd never read. Here are some critical pesukim which are not, don't get much playtime at all. Pesukim Mem Gimel and onwards. 43. So now Esav's angry, and now Esav's on the warpath, and now Esav wants to kill Yaakov as soon as Yitzchak has died. So now, Rivka, did she know this was going to happen? Who knows? But now she's going to make plan B. What does she say? Pasuk Mem Gimel, verse 43. V'tome elav hine Esav achicha mitnachem lacha lahargecha. Your brother wants to kill you. V'ata v'ni shema b'koli. Now my son, listen to me. V'kum Brach lacha el Lavan achi charana. Run to my brother, Lavan in Charan. V'yashav te'imo yamim achadim. Stay there a little time, right? Chill out there for a little bit. Ad asher tashuv achamat echicha, until your brother's anger calms down. V'shalachti v'lachicha misham. And I've always been the actor until now. I will send for you, and I will bring you back from there. And here's my question: does that ever happen? Does that ever happen? Rivka says, I will send for you, I will bring you back. What do we know about Rivka from this point onwards, after this story? Answer? Absolutely nothing. Go back to chapter 35, where we started. After the verses that we looked at, actually, page 190. When Yaakov does eventually return, where am I? Pasuk Kaf Zayin, verse 27, on page 190. Vayavor Yaakov. Yaakov now finally comes back to who? El Yitzchak Aviv. To Yitzchak, his father. Mamre kirat haba hi chevron asher gar sham Abraham v'Yitzchak, where Abraham and Yitzchak live. He doesn't come back to Rivka. Where is Rivka? Yaakov never meets Rivka again. And here is the most painful part of it. This isn't my reading. I'm sorry, this is a terrible thing to say, but I read it's the truth. This isn't my reading. This is what the Torah is saying. The Torah doesn't even tell us that Rivka dies. Who does it tell us that dies? Devorah. Who the hell is Devorah? Who is Devorah? Do you know how important you have to be told for the Torah to tell us that you die? It's like a huge thing for the Torah to tell us that you die, right? But just go back a few verses, right? Page 186. Yaakov on his way back from Padan, the last verse on page 186, Pasuk Chet, verse 8 in chapter 35. Batamot Devorah meineket Rivka. Devorah, Rivka's wet nurse, dies, and she is mournful, and they cry. Who dies? Not Rivka, rather Rivka's domestic help. The way in which the Torah tells you what it thinks about Rivka's actions in Parashat Toldot is it edits her out the story. She says, "V'shalachti v'lakachti, I will send for you, I will bring you back from there." It never happens. It is so tragic. It is beyond painful. Her actions, which Yitzchak would have agreed to anyway if only they had spoken, actually end up tearing her apart from her son, her beloved son, and she will never see him again. They are never reunited. And we only find out that she's eventually died completely derech agav, by the way, in chapter 49, when we're just given a list of who is buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And she is, when she said, oh yes, she's there in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. But long, long after this story is over. And finally, let's stay in chapter 35. We began with these questions. What is this double return? God appears to Yaakov. He says, go back to Bethel, build for me a Mizbeach. Yaakov does that, calls it Bethel. Devorah dies, then God appears again, says, go back, Bethel, build for me a Matzibah. He does that, he calls it Bethel, and then Rachel dies. Well, it seems to actually correspond to Yaakov on the way out. Going back to our story, end of chapter 27 in Toldot, there are two reasons why Yaakov is sent. Why does Rivka tell him to go to Haran? Because? No. Because Esav, your brother, wants to kill you. Right? That is the verses that we read at the bottom of 140. You go until his anger calms down. Why should I lose you? I will send for you. But then, so why is Yaakov running away? He's running away to get away from Esav. But then, at the beginning of chapter 28, after Yitzchak has given Yaakov the bracha, right, that we read, then what does he say to him? In fact, sorry, just before that. He says to him, Pasuk Aleph, V'yikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. Yitzchak calls Yaakov, V'yivarechato, blesses him, V'yitzaveho, V'yomer lo. He says, Lo tikach isha mibnot Kenan. Don't take a wife from here. Right, skip. Rather, kum lech padena aram. Go to Padan Aram, Beta Betuel, Avi Imecha, V'kach lecha misham isha. Go and take a wife from them, even not Lavan Achi Imecha, from the children of your mother's brother, Lavan. And then skip down a few verses. Pasuk Kei, V'yishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov, V'yelech Padan Aram. Yitzchak sends Yaakov to go to Padan Aram, El Lavan Bet Betuel Achi Rivka, Im Yaakov, Em Yaakov Ve'esav. There are two reasons why Yaakov leaves. One very negative, one very positive. One to flee his brother's wrath and his death wish, and the other one in order to find a wife, in order to build a family, in order to fulfill the blessing of Abraham. And two things does Yaakov return with, right? The first one, he is returning. Why? B'varchecha, right? I am the God who appeared to you when you were running away from your brother's wrath. That's the first time that it appears in chapter 35. And who dies at the end of the first telling of it? Devorah. In other words, the Rivka sending, the original sending to run away from Esav's wrath, is then closed. The circle is sealed by the death of Devorah, closing the Rivka circle. That was the one reason he was sent. But then you have the next appearance of it, where God appears to him again. And this time, I mean, just look at these amazing parallels, right? And with this, We will finish, right? Chapter 35 again. Verse 9, God appears to him, V'yivarechato, and blesses him. And just look at how many parallels there are in the blessing that God now gives to Yaakov, to the blessing that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov. He changes his name, says, your name is going to be Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'yomel Elohim, Ani El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai, exact name of God that Yitzchak blessed Yaakov with. Pere Urevei. Go, be fruitful, multiply. Goy v'kahal, goy yemi mecho, malachim mechalzecha yetzeu. Return, right? You're going to have all of these wonderful children and nations. Et ha'aretz asher natati la'Abraham u'li'Yitzchak, l'cha et nena. I will give the land that I promised to Abraham and Yitzchak to you, l'zarecha, acharecha, eten et ha'aretz. There is this dualism within Yaakov. On the one hand, he's flying for this reason. On the other hand, he's going to fulfill the bracha of Abraham. We have one version of the return, and we have the other version presented to us as well for exactly this reason. Kel Shaddai, the blessing of Abraham, he returns, he calls it Bethel, and who dies now? Rachel. Rachel, his beloved wife, the woman who he went to Padan Aram for, the woman with whom he will build his family, she now closes the second return of Yaakov, not the much more negative one of fleeing his brother's wrath, but the more positive one of fulfilling the bracha of Abraham. That was me trying to put as many of my thoughts as possible into this. Concluding thoughts on this. Yitzchak, the blind one, the misken, the one who can be taken advantage of, He actually knows. He knows that despite his love for Esav, Yaakov is actually the one who deserves the bracha, and the one that he loves won't be the fitting heir and inheritor. And that's something very remarkable, to be able to act against your natural love. To say the person that I love the most is actually not the person who needs to take this significant blessing, and that needs to be Yaakov. And that's a pretty remarkable thing. Rivka's tragedy, she could so easily have got what she wanted. And instead she ended up with the absolute opposite. And I wonder, we shouldn't stand too much in judgment. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be Rivka. But to think about it ourselves, how much we try sometimes to get something which we want and think about using negative means, when actually it might well come to us just by waiting or just by acting in a more humane, a more sympathetic manner. And to think that, you know, the question isn't about whether or not the means justified the ends, but what were those actual ends. Yishar koach, everybody. I hope we enjoyed. Looking forward to carrying on very soon.